Welcome back to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. Today I'm having on a guest who I know you will find very inspirational. She and her husband and their kids while homeschooling built their home debt-free for $70,000. They had this dream of moving back with their family, where their family was, but that meant a pay cut. They wanted land, but they also wanted somewhere to live. And so they had to pull together this dream of building their home very inexpensively. I know you'll find that very inspiring. We're also going to chat design, and then they're building another house now. So let's dive in chatting with Dina from Fletcher Creek Cottage.
My name is Lisa, mother of seven and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch, cooking, and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way.
Thank you so much, Dina, for joining me. I'm looking forward to chatting DIY, home design, building. I know my listeners will be very inspired by your story because you have some very inspirational things that you and your family have done. So let's start with introductions. Tell us about you, your family, your home, Instagram, blog, whatever else you want to share.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here, and it's great to chat with you all things DIY. My name is Dina, and you can find me at Fletcher Creek Cottage over on Instagram. I have a blog with the same Fletcher Creek Cottage, and more recently added YouTube, which has been pretty exciting, but a huge learning curve for me. As far as the personal side of things go, I am a wife for almost 22 years now, and I've got two almost grown kids. I'm a homeschool mom, and something that a lot of people don't know about me is I am one of 12 children, so I've got a huge family.
Oh, wow.
And family is what brought us back to this area where we live. We live in northern Michigan, Traverse City area, and we're on 65 acres here, and that's what led us to build this cottage, which is Fletcher Creek Cottage. So my business was born out of, you know, a family adventure slash venture of right. Just trying to get back home. So that's me in a nutshell.
Cool. Yeah, I didn't realize you were up in Michigan. We've been up to Traverse City. We did a road trip up there because, yeah. I mean, it's kind of far, but it's not super far.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful up there. I've been to a lot of different places in Michigan.
It's home for myself and my husband. He grew up like 15 minutes from me. So we are so glad to be back here.
Yeah.
It's been amazing these last 5 years.
Well, the most inspirational part of your story, at least to me, that I know of, there could be more, that I'm sure my listeners will also find inspiring, is that you built your home from the ground up for only $70,000.
We did.
You'll have to tell us about that. Like, can you tell us how that went? I realize it was probably before lumber prices were what they are, but then again, I think they're going back down now. So I am curious, that's a loaded question, but how did you guys make that happen?
That is definitely a question I get all of the time. People hear 70K and they're like, what in the world? How did you do that? You know, they assume that we used a lot of salvage stuff. They assumed that most people assume it was a remodel. So they think we bought a cottage and just remodeled it for 70K.
Which would also be impressive.
Which honestly. Would still be crazy, especially now with prices the way they are. But no, it was a new build. We bought vacant land here, and after we paid cash for our land, we literally only had $70,000 to spend on a house. And so we designed it's not a barn dominium, but it's kind of looks like a barn on the outside, but it's stick built. So it's 2x6 stick built home. And we use the front half for living space. So it's pretty small. It's under 1,000 square feet. And it has 2 bedrooms and 1 bath. And we kind of built bunk beds in the center of my kids' room because we have a girl and a boy, and teenagers, you know, they didn't want to share. So we kind of built a partition for them. And it's small living, but we were able to do it for under $70,000 just by doing everything ourselves. Family, of course, pitched in. You know, we have uncles and aunts and brothers and sisters, and it was kind of like an old-fashioned barn raising, so to speak. But all of the materials that we used in this house were brand new. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because otherwise that would take so long, or a lot longer than it probably already took. So how long did it take for you to do that?
It took us an entire year. So I was homeschooling the kids during the day, and Aaron works full time. He's an engineer and he was a plant manager here locally. And so we would work on it nights and weekends, and it took almost a full year to the day. So it was a lot.
Okay. That's actually surprising to me in that that's really short.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had a renovation take close to that.
Yeah. Well, we buckled down, and I wouldn't say that I would recommend doing it the way that we did it. We ended up having to, because Traverse City is like a tourist town, really.
Yes.
And we
had a hard
time finding rentals to live in mm-hmm. while we were building. So we ended up moving 5 times with our stuff in that year that we built. And it was just very chaotic. So it's not something that I would probably do again and push that hard as a family. But then again, I'm so glad we did it because it got us to where we wanted to be, which was home by family, you know, debt-free. Things that were just super important to us. So it was worth that sacrifice, I guess you could say, for that year to get here.
Yeah. Can you tell a little bit about your conviction behind the debt freedom and where that, like, why? I'm sure a lot of people would be like, yeah, that's great, but I would just take out a loan and just not live like that. But then on the other end of it, you're debt free. What inspired that conviction?
Well, we've definitely done it both ways. Aaron and I have moved 17 times and we've bought homes and been transferred through his work. And so we've had to sell the home. So we've definitely taken out a mortgage. We're not against that at all. The reason why we wanted to build, you know, what I guess what we needed, but nothing elaborate and just use cash was because the area that we were moving to, job security for myself or my husband wasn't great. So we knew that moving back here, he was taking a huge pay cut. And like I said, I was homeschooling the kids, so I wasn't working. I'm actually a cosmetologist, a hairdresser. So I was working part-time doing hair, but it was something we knew that if we moved back here, we didn't want to have a lot of debt looming over us in case he lost his job or anything like that. We wanted to make sure that we could stay here, put down roots, raise our kids by grandma and grandpa, you know, be a family. And for us, that meant we had to have little to no debt.
Right. Yeah. We actually had the same conviction whenever we moved here. We really wanted to purchase something with cash. And that meant that we had to get less acreage than maybe, you know, you'd think to get. We had to, I don't know, we like where we live. But we had the same thing because we wanted to make our blog our full-time income. It already was at that time. But I always felt like, you know, if anything would change with any certain thing, at least we don't have to worry about any payments. So no matter what, all we have to really worry about is food for our family, the electric, you know, whatever. There's things.
Right.
But same thing. It's just the freedom of knowing you can live where you want to live, do what you want to do. If you carry no debt, that gives you just so much more freedom.
Yeah, it really does. And for us, we had moved so many times, not per our choice. You know, career took us all over the place.
You don't want to do that again.
Taking us farther and farther away from family. And we just didn't want to do that again. So
yeah,
it was worth it to us. Yeah.
Okay. So I want to talk a little bit more about the nuts and bolts of actually building a house from scratch. I think you're the third person I've interviewed now who has done that. And it always blows my mind. And that's probably because I don't feel like I have the skills necessary to do that. So maybe I do. And it's probably one of those things where, well, if you want it bad enough, maybe you'll figure it out. But what's the starting point on that?
Well, you know, the old saying where they say, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Yeah,
it's exactly like that for us with building this house. So this was the first house that we'd designed and built from the ground up by ourselves.
Okay.
But, you know, rewind 17 years prior to this, we had bought our first fixer-upper and we had renovated that over the course of 4 years. So we learned a ton. I mean, I was like 21, Aaron was 22, and we learned how to tile, we learned how to do plumbing, we actually did an addition, so we learned framing. So it's not something that was just, you know, an idea and we're like, oh, we're gonna self-build a house. It was something that we had been gathering these skills with many different houses all along the way. And 17 years later, we had enough skill to self-build a house. So Yeah. 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 People hear, oh, you know, you could build a house, or you see things on HGTV or whatever, and you think it just gets done, you know, and it's actually quite complicated. Not to deter people away from self-building, because it can be amazing. Yeah. But it's definitely not something that I just picked up the skills, you know, overnight.
Yeah. Yeah.
It took a lot of years. And same with Aaron. We both learned along the way.
I think for us, the biggest struggle would be finding the little pockets of time, because even with a year, you had to still devote, I don't know the number of hours that go into a DIY build, but I'm assuming every single day there was probably some hours put into this. It wasn't like you're like, well, we'll do a little bit now, and the next month we'll do a little bit more.
No, it was daily, every day. And then if I could get the kids, so my kids were a little older. I didn't have any toddlers.
Yeah,
at the time.
And that's helps a lot.
Yes, that's huge. but the fact that they were like 10 and 14, we'd get done with school by, you know, 1 or 2 in the afternoon, and then we'd head out here and start working. Okay. We'd get out the tools. You know, we'd unlock the trailer, get everything set up. Grandma and grandpa would come out and help us. They would even bring us meals. They would make us a crock pot if it was cold out.
Right.
So it was daily for sure. And it was backbreaking work that full year. Boy, oh boy, bringing our kids along for that journey and seeing not just mom and dad working that hard, but them pitching in. Like there were a lot of things that they could do. And they learned so much and picked up a lot of skills that we've built since then: a pavilion, a chicken coop, a greenhouse, a fence. Yeah. And now we're building our dream house together. And now my son's actually in college for architecture. So it definitely rubbed off on him. But we had to bring the kids along.
Uh-huh. And to me, that's homeschooling. You know, like to do something like that, to take your kids along.
Yeah. Hands-on education.
Yeah. You cannot, that just can't be replicated. I think if nothing else, it shows kids that you can get an idea for something and then you can just build it one step at a time. This is literal, but also so many other things parents take their kids along with, where you're building something or learning something new and they just see that that's possible. I love that about homeschool.
Yes, they see it's possible, and they also learn grit, too. Like, to keep going when it's hard, maybe rest a little bit, but then keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Want to take a break from this episode to tell you about one of our awesome sponsors, Toups & Co. That's T-O-U-P-S and Co. I've had a few questions about that lately. Like, what are you saying again? All of the sponsors will be linked down in the show notes as well as on simplefarmhouselifepodcast.com. But Toups & Co. is an organic skincare company that I couldn't speak more highly of. I actually just did my makeup because I like to do my makeup before I come out and record, no matter what kind of day it's been. I have the Toups & Co. foundation, the mascara. I'm trying to remember what else I have. I have several of their things, and I absolutely love it. It's really hard to find a foundation especially that is both quality and good for you. I've struggled with that for years. I even dabbled in making my own for a while. It was really greasy, sort of worked out, but definitely did not have the quality of Toups & Co., where I actually feel like I'm wearing a foundation. I also really love their skincare products, so I love their cleansing oil. They have this tallow balm that, especially in the winter, I'm starting to not need it as much. I would go to my little tallow balm container 5 times a day. I just left it out on my bathroom where I pass by often and put it on my face all throughout the day. Now that it's not as dry because we're not running the wood stove, I'm able to do it like once a day and I'm totally fine. But such a luxurious balm that moisturizes the face, but then it also has all natural and organic ingredients, which is really hard to find quality and something that works. Toups & Co. is offering Simple Farmhouse Life listeners a 10% off discount by using the code FARMHOUSE. So head over to toupsandco.com, use the code FARMHOUSE to save 10%. I know that you're going to absolutely love their products. A little goes a long way. I haven't had to replace them for a while. I'm almost ready to replace the foundation. And I do a different shade from winter to summer. So I'm in that transition phase of like, I almost need a slight shade darker, which is a good time to get a new foundation. But I know that you are going to absolutely love it. Again, toupsandco.com. Use the code FARMHOUSE. I take great care in my home to source products products that are healthy, natural, organic, that will promote overall health. Alongside cooking from scratch, there are some foundational things like clean water and clean air that are as important as any of these other things. Americans take about 20,000 breaths per day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. My kids, they spend a ton of time outside, but I spend a lot of time inside cooking. I try to keep the window open, but still, the indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So what is the solution for this? I want to tell you about this podcast sponsor, Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. We have an indoor cat, we have pollen, and who knows what else around our house. So this just gives me peace of mind knowing that running Air Doctor will get rid of 99.99% of dangerous contaminants. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Farmhouse and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Farmhouse. So I want to get into your dream home. First with this one, what was the designing process like? And if somebody wants to do this, say they're not like at the, like you guys are, you lived there for, I don't know, how many years have you been there?
We've been here 5 years now.
5 years. And now you're getting ready to build a larger home. But with that one, what would you recommend as far, 'cause I know a lot of people get this same idea. I've heard it over and over again. Like we're going to buy this acreage and then we're going to build our own house. What kind of design works well for that?
Well, as far as cost savings, one of the biggest mm-hmm. things that you can do when you're designing a layout is try to keep things together like plumbing. So don't spread things out because not only does that cost more in materials, but it also takes more time just, you know, to put mm-hmm. a bathroom on both ends of the house. Try and keep it in the middle. So right. when we were designing this, we placed bedrooms and living rooms on the exterior walls so they could all have a window. And then I ended up putting all of the plumbing central. So we've got the laundry, the kitchen, you know, the bathroom.
They're all kind of like back to back.
All in one area. Mm-hmm. So we've got all of our water in one central location. So that saved on time. It also saved on money. But yeah, as far as design and a layout, everybody's situation is so different for what their family needs. Like there's a lot of people that want to do this to like homestead and they've got a lot of kids. That's yes, a totally yes. different situation than a lot of people I hear ask me questions like this because they want to downsize or they're retiring and they just want a uh-huh. smaller home. So right. it totally depends layout, you know, what your family needs, you know, as far as space goes and how the house should function.
Yeah. Like I haven't dove too deep into this world, but I know I hear a lot of people say, okay, we're going to build, I probably don't even have the qualification to even talk about this because I don't honestly even know much about any of this, but like you said, okay, that's a stick structure. And then some people do like a pole barn. Did you explore other options or what made you decide on the type of build to do as far as cost savings, function, ease of building?
Yeah. So Aaron and I were familiar with normal framing. Both of us, we'd done it for years, but even as kids, his parents are farmers and they'd built barns. My parents built their own house when I was 10. So we've been around, you know, normal 2x4, 2x6 construction our whole lives.
Yes.
So that was just kind of the least expensive at the time before lumber prices, you know, did what they did a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So we didn't even look into barn dominium or steel built structures because we knew they were more expensive.
Okay.
So we just didn't even go that route. Nowadays, yeah. I don't know. I haven't priced it, So I couldn't tell you. But as far as our new house, that's ICF, which is insulated concrete forms. And our basement is built out of that. And our main level's built out of that. So it's totally different than a stick built house. And it's all new to us. But yeah, it's been interesting.
So let's talk about that. What motivated you to build the new house? And is it on the same property? And then, yeah, are you doing this all yourself too?
So the new house is on the same property. This was actually the plan all along when we decided to move back here. You know, we had a set amount of money and we thought, okay, well, we can build a small cottage and then someday build our forever home on the same property. So that was always the plan. And we'd been saving since we moved in here to build that. As far as choosing ICF construction over typical framing, my husband, well, he's an engineer, but he toured a friend's home that was built out of ICF back, 18, 19 years ago. And he kind of got obsessed with it and did a lot of research on it. And he always said, one day we're going to build an ICF house. So that's kind of why we started looking into it after, you know, moving into the cottage. And just for long-term efficiency, it's pretty incredible. And it's actually really easy to build. They're basically giant Lego foam blocks that you reinforce with rebar and all kinds of clips. And then you pour the walls with concrete.
No big deal.
And they never move. And they're light, which made it easy for me. I could do it because, you know, I couldn't frame up a wall by myself. You know what I mean? But I could do that by myself. And I'm pointing out there because the house is right out there, right outside the window.
It's right over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is the plan for the cottage?
Well, since moving into the cottage, I've started a blog and a YouTube channel and all of that. So I'll probably be using it as a studio and the garage portion, which is the garage is actually 40 by 40. So it's pretty large. So I'll be using that as a workshop.
Okay. So it's pretty close to your house.
I would say maybe 300, 400 feet.
Okay.
Apart.
Cool. Did you guys ever consider doing like an Airbnb or is it too close to the house?
It's not too close. And I get asked that all the time.
I'm sure.
All the time. Yeah. But no, I mean, I don't know. That definitely isn't a plan.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah. It's different when it's on your property, I think, especially since you're a person on the internet, you know, because people have asked me that about this cottage that I'm sitting in. Because it's not, it's a different building from our house, but I'm like, no, I won't be doing that.
Yeah. Especially with children. I mean,
yeah. And it's a lot smaller than your house, but I mean, it would work. Like it would be better than a hotel room as far as size goes, but we enjoy using it. I mean, we use it every single day when I'm not in here, there's kids doing projects in here. So this is like another square foot, like this is more square footage of our house. It's so close to our house that we use it like part of our house. So we would
that's never... awesome. Yeah. Especially with a home business.
And yeah. Yeah.
You need that extra space.
Exactly. I know. We just need more places to go. Our barn too is like more square footage. People are always out there. It's not heated.
Is that where you had your sister's wedding?
Yes, it is. Yes. Yeah. So it's just a regular barn, but we have stuff sprawled out like everywhere. Like there's books out there. One of my kids is going to be sewing out there today. He was actually going to go up to his room and my husband's like, no, you're going to sew in the barn so we don't have to like instantly clean all of this up in your room. Because he had a whole big bag of fabrics. So just go out to the barn. So we use it all the time for it.
Yep. Us the same way with the pavilion, although it's colder here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sure it's not quite springtime there just yet.
I mean, no.
It is here. It's been spring for at least a month, maybe more.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Yeah. Construction in the cold is not my favorite.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine. Man.
Yeah.
All right. I want to take a break to tell you about today's sponsor. If you've been listening for a while, you know them, Carly Jean Los Angeles. Carly Jean Los Angeles is an LA-based clothing company that was started by a mother of four. She started the company with the idea of helping women to feel good about what they're wearing and how they're presenting themselves without putting in a ton of effort by creating these capsule wardrobe collections with staple pieces that aren't meant to just be worn once or twice and then you get rid of it. Like you have this top that you think, oh, maybe I'll wear this, you know, somewhere, but that you don't really have any occasion to wear it. These are classic pieces that work throughout different seasons of your life and for a lot of different events. The pieces that I have in my wardrobe, I literally wear every single day. I almost always, like, I come out here and I think, what am I wearing Carly Jean during my ad? I'm like, oh, literally everything except the apron. I never take my apron off for these. I don't know why. But I love that these pieces, they mix and match. I have very small amount of space in our farmhouse to store clothing. I have one little half of a wardrobe, and so I need to be able to look presentable with a small curated collection, and I love Carly Jean Los Angeles for that. Their basics line is all made right here in the US, which I also love supporting this small local US company. Carly Jean is offering Simple Farmhouse Life listeners 20% off your entire order with the code FARMHOUSE20. It's a one-time use code, so you can use it once, but it's off the entire site. Again, FARMHOUSE20 over at CarlyJeanLosAngeles.com. Thanks again to Carly Jean for sponsoring today's episode. Okay, so before we dive into some of the listener questions that I got off of Instagram, I wanted to ask you, what are your top tips for creating a dream home on a budget and or building a DIY home from scratch? That's a very loaded question. And obviously, it could mean buying a fixer-upper, which you also have experience with.
Yes. Yeah. Well, as far as a dream home, that's going to be different for everybody. Okay. You know?
Yeah. Because like for me, my dream home was one that I could afford and live out my happy little homestead life.
Right.
I could dream up something probably better if I really had to dream, but I mean, I'm good.
But you also have to be realistic. Like for me, I mean, we've lived, like I said, we moved 17 times in 17 years and we lived in a lot of different homes and, you know, size and some newer homes, some really old Victorian homes, one that was a plantation home down in Tennessee. We just, we've lived in all kinds of homes. And this small cottage is where we've been the happiest. So for me, creating a dream home on a budget, a lot of it has to do with the atmosphere in your home. I mean, honestly, the feeling that you get when you're home is something that can be created for free.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
yes,
I honestly think there's a lot to be said for environment and, you know, things that you can do. Organization, keeping your home clean, decluttered as possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we all have stuff because with kids and whatnot. I mean, don't even look at my garage right now. It's so full of tools.
But like the barn for us.
There's a lot to be said for organizing as best you can and keeping things clean and making your home feel like a relaxing, safe, you know, kind of a haven, really, without spending any money at all. So anybody can have a wonderful home on a budget because those things are free.
Right.
But as far as, you know, I'm all about DIY. So as far as creating the home, I usually hand make things, or if I can't, I find somebody who can, you know what I mean? Like mom or sisters or a grandparent who has the skill and they'll like teach me how to do it. And I'll make things myself, you know, sewing curtains. I know you're all about that too. Sewing curtains, making pillows. It doesn't necessarily have to cost a fortune if you get creative, you know.
So right.
DIY has saved me hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years. No question.
Yeah. What are some of your top projects that people go to the blog for?
Oh gosh,
I didn't tell you to ask this one.
That's okay. A lot of people, one of my most popular is concrete countertops, just because I think it's something that kitchens are so pricey. And a lot of people you know, I really want a lighter, brighter, or just freshened up kitchen. And everybody knows about painting cabinets, right? We can all do that. We can all sand and paint our cabinets. But then what about those like bright orange for my countertops. Like, what do you do about that without spending $10,000 on marble? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why that's popular, because there's some great options for concrete as far as colors. You can, you know, you can have a white marble looking countertop for really inexpensive if you just pour it yourself. So that that gets visited a lot. And I think a lot of people go to the website because they're curious and they just heard our story for the first time. And it's kind of more of a what in the world did they do? I got to see how they built their house, or you know, what are they talking about? They think it's a gimmick or something. But yeah, so most of my visitors come for that more than anything else. Yeah. And honestly, I've only had my blog for a couple of years. I've had Instagram for longer, 5 years. I started after we finished building this house.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to ask you that. Like, do you have...
I didn't document any that of it. Been, honest,
that might, you probably wouldn't have got it done in a year though. You wouldn't have. No. That would have been way too hard.
No, it would have been so hard. I've been documenting the new house build and I did not anticipate how much it would slow me down to to stop and move camera equipment. And and also a lot of the times I'm by myself. So to be able to film something while I'm building something is so challenging. Yeah. So I know. It's time consuming.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it, but holy moly, it's a lot.
I know.
So Anyway, sidebar. I'm like, what were we talking about?
No, I always say I used to think sewing was hard. Back before I learned, like, I got confident with it. Now filming sewing is hard. Sewing is not hard.
Yes.
Sewing is easy.
Yes.
That's something you can do when you have a little free time. Filming and explaining sewing. Now that is level not two, like five. That's going way up.
Yes. And then like a 1 hour project turned into a 5 day project.
Yeah. Yep. I know. Anytime I do something where I don't film it and document it, I'm just like, this is so relaxing and easy. It's just so different.
Yeah.
And it all comes across very effortless. We were talking about, and this is, let's just like sidebar diving into influencer stuff, but we were talking about this. I met this lady who, I haven't at all got into the TikTok world. I never will. I have, like, I put my reels on there, but I've never created the kind of content that you need to create to be popular on TikTok. And I won't have the time for that because it's a whole different thing. But anyways, she was explaining like how she got to these millions of followers on TikTok. And I was watching her her TikToks just out of curiosity. And they look, if you weren't in the know, they look so easy. Like, oh, this girl just documents her life and then has a million followers on TikTok. And I'm like, try it. You try that. That girl spends so much time putting that stuff together. It is crazy. And they're very well done, but it looks very effortless. You know, it looks like she's just somehow magically, you know, she's doing her day and then the stuff, just this little video of it appears. But I'm like, where'd you put your camera? In there. You kept switching it. Like, this day had to take you like more than 24 hours. What's going on?
Yeah, I had a day a couple of weeks ago where I needed to get a shot for a brand. And I said to Erin, where am I supposed to put my camera? Up in the trusses?
Right.
Like, I need another person.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. That's been my biggest thing with wanting, like, if I wanted to do like day in the life, like TikToks or whatever, because I do those for YouTube and that's not very hard because it's usually just once a day. But whenever people are doing these TikToks, they're doing this every single day. And that's always the thing, like, it's going to take me an extra, you know, 30 seconds for everything I do today just to set up the tripod, or more, a minute, 2 minutes. And it sounds easy enough. People are like, well, why don't you set up your phone for one and your camera for your YouTube? And I'm like, it sounds easy. It is not. It is not.
Yep.
This is why we don't do TikToks.
Yep, I feel you. So as far as my brand, I haven't been doing this long enough to really start creating content for content's sake. I've been sharing the projects I'm already doing and thinking I should film this or I should photograph this and I will put it up. Once the house is done and we're moved in, then I plan on, you know, I get so many requests. Can you make a video about this? Or can you show us how to do that? And I just don't currently have the time to do that right. because my main focus is building this house, which is a whole huge undertaking because it's just Aaron and I. So yeah, in the future, there will be a lot more.
Right. Once you're
simpler
settled in.
Projects. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That aren't so complicated and easier to film if I can set stuff up in the cottage, you know, and have all the equipment up here.
Yeah. And explain how you're doing it. So this new house, what is the square footage on it? And then what's your time frame?
So the square footage is just over 4,000 square feet. It
Whoa.
Is...
it's a big one.
It's a walkout. So it's kind of...
Okay.
You could... explain it as a ranch, but from the exterior, the main level is 2 stories tall.
Okay.
The ceilings are 14 foot. So it looks like 2 stories from the front, and then it looks like 3 because it's a walkout in the back.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's quite large. And then we have a garage off to the side, too. And as far as time frame, it will get done when it gets done. I'm guessing it'll be done in about a year. From now, we've already been working on it. Let's see, we broke ground 18 months ago. And then we had to pause. So we got the basement, the foundation, the footings, the basement in, and then it was winter. It was winter and it was also the pandemic. So things got halted. And then we were able to build the whole second story and get the roof on this summer. And then it paused again. We could only do a little bit of work out there just because sometimes it's 0 degrees here in the winter we had no heat and it wasn't completely enclosed. So now we're full swing, get it sided, get the windows in and completely enclose it and finish it off, hopefully, within a year. But we've learned the hard way over the years that projects are not more important than people, and we can't push so hard all the time at the expense of our kids and our family life and our marriage and all that. So we try to have better balance now that we've been doing this for over 20 years.
Yeah.
And we're trying to give ourselves grace, too, as we're moving
along.
Well,
yeah. And I mean, you're not like renting or moving. You have this comfortable cottage, so I can see how it wouldn't be as urgent as your last build. So
our last build,
and it's 4 times as big, so
it is,
it's gonna take longer.
It's big, and my husband's he's been commuting 6 hours a day for work for months now.
My word,
that's added a little bit of a
that's insane
monkey wrench.
If he had that time, can you imagine?
that would be awesome if we had more time. So we're just taking it one day at a time and moving forward a little bit at a time. And I guess I'm old enough now to know that if you keep doing that, eventually it gets done. You know what I mean? So just stay focused on the end goal.
Yeah. I could draw so many parallels with that to like motherhood, where there's all these things you get so upset about when your child is 1, 2, 3. And then whenever you have kids on the other side of that, you're like, oh, you can actually not do everything 100% perfect and they still turn out like decent human beings, they end up potty trained, they end up reading, they end up sleeping through the night, despite a lot of, any failures in certain areas, that they all end up there. So
yes.
Are you interested in starting a blogging business to support you on your homestead or in your simple living journey, or not even for an income, but just to share things that you've been learning with maybe family and friends? I have a 1-hour blog masterclass where I go over all the things that I wish I'd known when I started years ago that would have helped me to be successful a lot faster. The blogging world has totally changed. In fact, a lot of people actually think that blogging is dead because they've noticed that the journal style blogging has been replaced by Instagram and YouTube, where people share their real lives there. Blogging is as good of an opportunity as ever. It's actually the most passive way that I make an income in my business. I have several different ways that we make an income with our business, but blogging is the most passive and it's actually the best income stream. So if I had to give up all of my income streams except one, blogging would be the one that I would choose. I love a lot of them. I obviously love podcasting. I love YouTube. But if I could only choose one, it would be blogging. If that's interesting to you, or even just you're curious how is blogging still a thing and you want to learn for an hour in my masterclass, it's completely free. You can get that at bit.ly/farmhouseblogging school. That's all one word, no spaces, and all lowercase. Again, bit.ly/farmhouseblogging school to get my free 1 hour blogging masterclass. Okay, let's dive into some of the listener gathered questions on Instagram. If you're a new listener, this is something with before each interview, we put up a question box with the name of the guest and what their expertise is. And then we ask you for what you want to hear, which has been a really nice way to participate and get like what people want to hear from you. So we have a lot of design and renovation specific questions. The first one is window coverings. This is just a style thing, but I guess we can dive into a little bit about your style, and people do follow along with you for the style you've created in your cottage. So what are your preferences for or things that you found that you love for window coverings?
So I'm very similar to you, Lisa. I would have to say I always prefer to make them myself because I can't usually find what I'm looking for. Even if I had a mm-hmm. bigger budget, I still can't find what I'm looking for.
Right.
So hand making things for me. I mean, I think I've sewn curtains or Roman blinds or whatever for every house we've lived in since I yeah. was 20. So I couldn't really steer anyone towards any one store. So that's not very helpful.
Yeah, but... no, that's like, what about materials? What materials do you gravitate for and what styles whenever you're sewing them?
I love linen. That's probably mm-hmm. my favorite. I don't do a ton of sewing. I typically will pick a neutral shade for my curtains and I'll change out my pillows more often. I don't change out my curtains very often, like seasonally.
Yeah.
So I pick something pretty neutral and change out right. my pillows instead, which I also love to yeah. handmade pillows. That's a lot of fun. Great way to save too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a really easy place for people to start and you can get it. Yeah. Very cheap. Okay. Do you have any tips for finding good deals on outdoor furniture?
Ooh,
that's tricky.
Yeah.
Because A, it's expensive. And B, I'm feeling like none of it lasts. Like we actually bought a teak table for our patio and we got it last year and it's fine. We eat on it nonstop, but it doesn't look good at all. Like we're going to redo it. We're going to sand it. But I'm like, it's been a year.
Yeah. And that shouldn't be the case, especially with teak. That's tricky. Is your patio covered or no?
It's not. No, it's not really, I guess, it's a patio at all. It's just kind of a spot. So yeah.
Yeah. I, over the years, have regretted any time that I went with a less expensive option mm-hmm. with outdoor furniture because I found the same to be true. The year before, I ended up getting a few different sets and returning them.
Okay.
And getting another set and returning them. And I just ended up splurging, ended up going to Pottery Barn and buying what I really wanted that I knew would last a really long time and was the most comfortable. And I've not regretted it since. It's not very often where I splurge on something, but that's been well worth it, especially for outdoors. Cause our pavilion, we can sit like 40 people in there. I made some really long tables with benches. And so we spend a ton of time in there when, you know, it's not winter.
Yeah. Right. Upcoming.
So, here, but as far as finding like budget friendly options, salvaged or like Facebook Marketplace or, you know, if you can find an outdoor table and it's only like $30 and it doesn't last you forever, that's okay. You know what I mean? You probably get a few years out of it. Yeah. So finding things at estate sales or, you know, flea markets, stuff like that is always where I would go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about finding good area rugs inexpensively? Do you have any hot tips for that one?
Rugs are so expensive.
I know. Yeah. And I'm really in the same boat with you as your outdoor furniture. The ones that I have loved the most and I haven't regarded at all have been the most expensive, unfortunately.
Yes. Yes. There are things that you probably shouldn't look for the budget-friendly option because you'll end up spending more because you'll end up replacing it. And I feel like furniture and rugs fall into that category. Yeah,
I have rugs I'll never want to replace in my house now after nailing down what I like.
Yeah, one that I've been really happy with. So we just added two puppies to our house and I was like, well, I want to have a rug in here that's not very expensive just in case there's going to be accidents. And I don't want it to be destroyed, especially with one of them likes to chew. So I found that some of the printed rugs from Leloy are actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. I've been really happy with the one that I have. It's a really low pile, so it's easy to vacuum with the dogs in the house, but it's huge. I would say this rug is probably 15 feet. And I think I got it for under $200. It was just like on sale.
Yeah, and it's really
cheap. It looks great. So, but
yeah,
other than
Leloy. I've seen that company.
Yeah, they have higher end ones, but these are the printed ones that are really inexpensive. Okay. And when I first opened it, the colors looked a little off. It looked a little printed, but then after about a week, it faded, and it looked gorgeous. So I've been really happy with it.
Yeah, and at that price, you know, if something does happen.
Yeah, like have if to a puppy chews it. On not, it.
Yeah, puppies are, whew, puppies.
Yep.
They eat everything. Okay, how about adding old charm to new builds? Is that something you guys are doing or are you going more for the modern look in the new home?
Not modern at all. This is something that I have spent probably the last 2 years thinking about when I'm not building. It's like consumes my thoughts. It's how to make sure that I'm building a home that will stand the test of time and not look dated or trendy. And that's really hard to do, especially when you go to like a hardware store, you know, Home Depot or Lowe's or wherever. Things that are for sale are going to be on trend. You know what I mean? So and it's going to be a small selection and it's really tricky to create something that's timeless, you know, classic without it looking old, you know, like, so yeah, I've put a lot of thought into that. What I'm doing, I've done a ton of research, reading a lot of books, older books, like architectural books and design books. And what I keep coming back to is using real elements, like anywhere where you can incorporate real wood versus a wood lookalike or an imitation, real stone, marble, even if it's just a small area like a coffee bar, you know, spend a little more money and put in a copper or sink or like brass handles or something, choosing materials that would have been around a few hundred years ago makes a house to me look more timeless and less trendy. So I'm trying to create a space where when people walk in, they don't really know when it was built.
Yeah. I went to a house like that recently and I asked her if it was old and she was like, it's not, but I'm glad you asked because we weren't trying to make it look really modern. What are you doing about the layout? Because I know people have gone really back and forth with the whole open concept, closed concept, and that can make a house look dated, I feel like, more than anything else.
Yes, it really can. As far as the layout, we chose our floor plan based off of our views. And so we have a very unique shaped house. It's almost looks like maybe there was a farmhouse on it in the center. And then maybe it had wings added over time because it's kind of like a Z shape.
But does that create like nice courtyard areas too?
It does.
Like outside.
Outside, it will. Right now, it's just a bunch of sand piles. It looks so bad right now.
Some point, but at some point, maybe that would create these.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That is the goal. That's the hope. So we've got great views from every room. We do have the tall ceilings. The main portion of the house is open concept, but how I'm breaking it up is using, I don't want to say beams, but almost like boxing out and drywalling over and adding trim to separate, almost have partitions between the living room and the dining room. So it feels like a separate space, but it's still open as far as the flow. You know what I mean? There are doors closing it off, but it still kind of feels cozy and secluded.
Right.
So yeah, it's been tricky, but fun, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Really, really fun.
So did you design it yourself? You guys, are you and your husband, or I'm sure you didn't buy plans, but it sounds like you didn't.
No. Yeah. We did design it. We had plans drawn up that we had worked on over the years of a dream home. And then once we bought the property, we modified it quite a bit because, you know, the views, we were trying to utilize a couple of hills and the yard, and it just kind of made sense for sunset views and things like that. But yeah, we designed it. Same with the cottage. We drew it up, and then both buildings we took to our architect, which is my cousin, and he's okay. been great. So he drew up the blueprints for us based off of what we had already sketched.
Oh, that's cool. What were your, the question asks what must haves in every dream home, but I'll just ask you, what were your must haves in the home that you're building?
My number one thing is windows. I am obsessed with natural light, trying to get as much natural light as I can. Yeah, windows, windows, windows all day long. And then if you can add a little bit of height to your ceiling, I always like to do that wherever I can. So our basement height is 9 feet. The master suite area and mudroom and all of that section of the house is almost 10 feet and the rest of the house is 14 feet. And that to me were like the two things that I really wanted to have. Mm-hmm. And everything else was just kind of flexible. You know what I mean? Kind of figuring it out as we go. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So those were the must haves. I agree on the windows. That is a make or break thing. I mean, to me, like, we don't need to turn lights on until it's dark. And I love that.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the last section of questions has to do with budget. We already went over some of these. What is your advice for finding land to build on when, I guess there's just really not much you can say about this one, but I'll just ask it. When land in your area is expensive.
That's tricky. Land everywhere is expensive, but one thing that we did, Traverse City, you know, being the hub of where we started looking just like a mile or two outside of the Traverse City line just to see, you know, because the land prices go way down and taxes go way down. So that's really, I mean, there's not a lot you can do, you know, as far as.
Yeah.
The price of things is just the price of things.
But there's only so much you can do with
that. If you can, like we knew we were going to be homeschooling, so we didn't have to be in a certain school district. And if you can, you know, move a little bit into another county, you can save a lot.
Oh yeah. In our area, it can vary by like within an hour, you can find land that is 5,000 an acre up to, you know, 40,000 an acre, all within an hour radius. I'd say most is more around 15, but if you're willing to go out, you can find significantly more land for a lot less money. I think that's probably almost anywhere, unless you're in certain spots in California. And I'm sure people are like, oh no, there's this place. And I know you're right, but I know that people always act like our place is the cheapest land ever, but I've been looking at other locations just out of curiosity, and it is not. I don't know. I think Missouri kind of blew up in the last, like, you know, 3 years or whatever.
Yes. Missouri,
several Midwestern states did, actually, and it's not cheap to get land by any stretch. The next question was how to create your. Again, the dream home has to be so relative, but how to create your dream home when struggling to get ahead on debt?
Oh boy. Anyone who's trying to pay off debt or live debt free or anything like that, live within your means. I applaud you, because in today's society, that's just not normal anymore. You know, people are living outside of their means, and it's become normal. So that's a great ambition to have. But it is tricky. I would say for us, how we've done it with each home is slow and steady. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that because they want their house fixed overnight, or, you know, they want to improve it now and they don't want to have to wait. But if you can do a little bit at a time, and that's what we're doing with this house that we're building, we're paying for it as we go, which means it's going to take longer. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. You know, with us, it's okay. if you have the goal of paying off debt, and that's more important to you than renovating your kitchen space or whatever, then that's fantastic. You could still upgrade a little bit as you go along, you know? So I don't know. I guess it just really boils down to like what your top priority is.
Right.
You know, as far as living, but it's going to be different for all of us for sure.
Yeah. I think the answer is just sometimes that's not possible right now. Sometimes dream home doesn't fit into the equation. And that's maybe like maybe changing the perspective on that being something that is even possible or needed, livable, comfortable. That's, you know, maybe the goal to strive for with that.
Yeah, I could share a personal story. I don't think I've ever shared this before. But when we were trying to figure out how to move back home, we wanted to so badly. It was so important to us. But I also had lived in a lot of amazing homes. I'd renovated homes and we had just finished, you know, nearly finished a beautiful house and that we were very comfortable in over in Wisconsin. And for a moment, I remember saying to Aaron, you know, I can move back home, but please don't, you know, please don't ask me to live in a garage.
Right.
Because I just can't do that. And, you know, we crunched the numbers and ultimately, I decided I would be okay with living, you know, in this living space in a garage, really, essentially.
Yeah, as long as you were where you wanted to be.
Right, right. And for me, that was more important. And I knew I had to sacrifice something to get there. And I was willing to do that. Well, fast forward, you know, a couple years later, and this garage house has been in national magazines.
Right.
And it's not an expensive home by any means. It's probably the most humble little cottage you ever saw, but we are so happy here.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we learned a lot. And I'm so glad I didn't stick to my guns and be like, no, I have to live this certain way and it's got to be like this now. And, you know, I'm glad I decided to sacrifice something, you know, ultimately, because it turned out to be a huge blessing. I would have never started a blog. I would have never started a business, you know,
right.
You know, the business now is leading to helping finance our house, our dream home.
Yeah.
So ultimately, you just never know how things are going to turn out if you're willing to, you know, be a little flexible. And like you said, change your perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something has to give. There's nothing I can say to make the numbers work out.
No.
If you live in an expensive area, you already have debt. I mean, there's nothing I can say, like no special tip or trick, except for, I guess you can't, you know, that's just what you're going to have to live in because, you know, unless you can move somehow, which that's not possible for most people. And your location around family is most of the time more important. It would be to me than the living situation. So good advice. All right. Let everyone know where they can best follow up and find you and follow along as you build your home. And then also share more tips and different projects you might do whenever the home's completed.
Yeah. So you can find me at Fletcher Creek Cottage everywhere, all across the board. I'm over on YouTube now, trying to spend more time there just because people are asking for videos. You know, the blog post is great for referrals, but
long-form
people
content.
Really love to see how things come together and they love seeing, you know, the real side of the story. You know, this is not going to happen fast. It's not a TV show. It's real life that we're just documenting.
Right. Yes,
so,
how this actually.
Yeah. So we're over on YouTube, on the blog, FletcherCreekCottage.com, Pinterest, Instagram. You can find me anywhere.
All the places. Awesome. Well, very inspiring. I know a lot of people will want to go follow along. So thank you so much for sharing and sharing your advice here with our listeners and all of your expertise. Thanks, Dina.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Well, I hope that you found that episode inspiring. I know I did. As always, thank you so much for listening to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast, and I will see you in the next one.